The Point Radio.
It's Mike Bob. From a few TV movies into a successful TV series. Catherine Bell talks about how she worked a little magic to have yet another successful point on her resume. And summer movie blockbusters are already here. X-Men may be behind us, but what's on the big screen next? Alicia Malone talks about the movies that you've got to catch during the next few months. And you might be surprised at what a couple of them are. Let's get to the point.
This is The Point. The Point Radio. Get The Point Radio.
She's television's favorite enchantress. Catherine Bell is Cassie Nightingale in The Good Witch, the Hallmark top-rated TV series that came from a group of successful television movies. I asked Catherine to tell me a little bit about Cassie.
Cassie Nightingale is, I've been stepping into her skin for about 9 years now, which is crazy, but we made the first Good Witch movie almost 9 years ago. And it was just a one-off movie, and it did great. And we did another one a year after. And 7 years later, we after seven movies, thought, hey, let's turn this into a series. And we're on season two now. It's crazy. It's hard to believe.
Are we going to find out more about Cassie's background this season?
Yeah, there's definitely, we keep finding out more about Cassie. We thought we knew a little bit about her, but she's a bit mysterious. And I think that might be part of what people like, is she's got a little bit of mystery, and yet still just warm and kind, and seems to help bring the best out in people. And but definitely more is being revealed this season, with someone from her past who shows up, and you find out about her college years and archaeology and all sorts of interesting things coming out.
So is she really magical?
I think it's kind of left up to the viewer to decide, because to me, even I go, well, is she you know, a witch, or isn't she? Does she just know how, you know, she has perceptions and abilities that maybe more than the average person, or is she actually a witch?
So how did Catherine get the acting bug?
Completely by accident. This was at UCLA, was studying to be some sort of either doctor or an engineer, completely random, different industry, and took an acting class and really liked it. And you know, it took a while from there to really realize that's what I wanted to do with my life. But yeah, that's kind of how it started. I left UCLA and started acting.
Catherine seems to have a reputation for getting good long-term parts from shows where she turned in great work, like Army Wives and JAG.
Oh, thank you. Well, you know, definitely, I guess, some of Cassie's intuition, I guess. You know, you read a script, and it's not always so apparent. I have had situations where, you know, like Army Wives is a great example. I thought, I just finished 9 years on JAG, and I got the script for Army Wives, and like, oh, I can't do another military show. No. And I wasn't even going to look at it. And my manager said, no, you really need to look at this one. It's totally different. It's a different character, and it's a great group, and it's a really good script. And so that was a collaborative effort of like, okay, let's take a look at this. And ended up being an amazing show. And 8 years later, you know, incredible. So yeah, I think it's just a mixture of things. You never know. People always say, well, how did you know? Or did you know this was going to be successful? And you know, you just don't, you never know. And so many different elements go into making something that somehow they all click, and it's pretty incredible.
So what else would you like to try?
I'm so fortunate doing so many different things. Comedy is always fun and fascinating to me. I got to work with Jim Carrey and Steve Carell and Bruce Almighty. I got the Do-Over coming out on Netflix with Adam Sandler and David Spade at the end of this month, which was amazing. So that's always fun. For me, it's always about doing something different and challenging, whether it's a role I've never played before, a period piece, or you know, maybe just something really dark. I haven't done that, like some really dark, intense drama. It's not so pretty. The opposite of Good Witch. Just as a challenge.
There are new episodes of The Good Witch every Sunday, only on the Hallmark Channel. DC racks up another exclusive. That's part of what's going on here as we start the holiday weekend in pop culture. Add another name to the list of exclusive talents that are signed on with DC Comics. Dan Abnett will be part of the DC Universe on a permanent basis when he begins his run on the Aquaman series, beginning with Aquaman Rebirth #1, coming out in a few weeks. He'll also be writing Titans Rebirth #1 and the monthly Teen Titans book as well. Abnett joins a long list, 12 in fact, of creators who've signed on with DC for exclusives, and that includes Scott Snyder and Amanda Connor a few months ago. The ever-widening difference between DC's market share and that of Marvel Comics grew even more during the month of April. When you look at the comic stores and how they sold their comics that month, Marvel came in with just under 43% of the market, and DC at number two with not quite 26%. The top five round out with Image, IDW, and Dark Horse in that order. So what were the biggest selling comics and graphic novels of the month? Hang on, we'll get to that in just a little bit. If you're an Apple TV owner, look for a few little surprises over the holiday weekend. The set-top streaming service has added Bravo, Sci-Fi, and E! With their TV Everywhere apps, giving customers access to full seasons of shows on those networks. Paper Cuts has announced a partnership with Mattel to produce comics based on the iconic Barbie brand. They'll begin in September in comic stores. There'll be new material based on both the core Barbie franchise as well as its media properties as well. There'll be three graphic novels to begin with based on the Barbie Starlight and Barbie Puppy Adventure Home video series releases. And again, they'll be in stores in September. FX has picked up the critically acclaimed The Americans for a 13-episode fifth season that'll air next year, and a 10-episode sixth and final season that's set to air on the network in 2018. The current season on FX comes to a close on June the 8th. WWE is expanding its live footprint on television by bringing SmackDown a couple of days early and now airing it live for the first time. The show moves to Tuesdays on the USA Network beginning on July 19th. That'll give the network 5 hours of live WWE programming every week.
The Point, The Point.
The numbers can be a little deceiving when we look at how comic sales were in comic stores during the month of April when you compare them to where they were back in 2015. The chart showed that sales are down about 16% when compared to the same period a year ago. But keep in mind, April in 2015 was a 5-week month, and April this year only 4 weeks. All that being said, what were the big sellers in comic stores in April? Well, the top 10 comics started number 10 with Amazing Spider-Man, number 10. Number 9, Harley Quinn and the Suicide Squad April Fool's Special. Number 8, Darth Vader, number 19. Number 7, Star Wars, number 18. Number 6, First Edition of Gwenpool. Number 5, Batman, number 51. At number 4, the Star Wars Special C-3PO, number 1. Dark Knight 3, The Master Race, number 4, came in, and surprisingly at number 3 for the month. At number 2, Star Wars, Poe Dameron, number 1, and the best-selling book for the month. First issue of Black Panther from Marvel.
The Point, The Point.
He's a businessman, an actor, a stand-up comic, a radio host every single morning, and a single father of five. He's Ricky Smiley, and now it's all being brought to one television show called Ricky Smiley for Real. It's hitting its second season right now on TV One, and I asked Ricky what we're going to see in the new run of episodes.
Oh, man, it's going to be great, man. Ricky Smiley for Real is going to be on TV One. Make sure you put that down, TV One. Every Tuesday night, tomorrow, is a brand new episode where it gets pretty controversial. It's going to be a lot of mixed opinions on how I handled myself when I had to discipline one of my unruly teenage boys. You're in for a lot tomorrow, so I'm really excited about it.
With everything that goes on in his life from day to day, I asked Ricky if when the show began, was it tough having cameras invade his life?
It took a while to get used to because having a camera crew into your home, I don't have company like that. And to have that many people in my home at one time who I'm not related to, that was that took a lot to get used to because, you know, I have house rules and I had to do a lot of teaching. So I had to train a lot of them as to how to handle themselves up under my roof because this is not a set, this is a home that we're using for a set to shoot something. So that was pretty difficult at times.
What about with the rest of his family? Did all the chaos make things even more difficult with them?
No, it's not difficult for me. Either you do what I ask you to do or you leave. You know, I don't owe a child. I don't owe a child an explanation that's not paying for anything. You know, the clothes on your back, the underwear that you wear, the food that you eat, So if I say do something, that's just what it is. I don't have to explain to you. I don't owe you an explanation. It's not your house. And that's what it is. So I know society has given children so many rights, but you don't have no rights in my house. You know, it's what I say. You know, and I don't have to tell you why I said no to anything. I've trained my children to accept no and respect no. Or whatever. That's the problem with society. You tell somebody no to something, and all of a sudden everybody's in an uproar or consider you mean instead of respecting no. You know, you don't have to say yes to everything, you know, mm-hmm. because that defeats the purpose of asking. So I kind of train them different in my house. So my kids leave the house, they're very respectful. They respect no without the attitude that comes with it. And, it's pretty different out there, but I'm an old school parent. Old school. I believe in old discipline instruction.
So where'd the comedy come from? Was he a funny kid?
I was always one of the kids. I was a follower. I was always one of the kids that kind of laughed at the other kids that was funny. I was a laugher. You know, and so one day I just decided to take it on stage because I was funny, but not as funny as some of the other kids. I was always the instigator and the laugher. But somehow, some kind of way, I ended up on stage, and here we are.
Cranking out a morning radio show is no easy task, especially in today's world of so much social media and so much information available already on the web. I asked Ricky what his formula for success was.
You have to put on a really good show. You got to have great content. You have to do community service. You have to talk about what they want to talk about. You have to have audience participation. You have to include your audience where they can feel like they're part of the show. And they are part of the show because if it wasn't for your audience, you wouldn't have one. And, let people know what time it is. Basic time check. You have to do the basic fundamentals of radio and do it the right way. And you have to tease and keep your audience engaged. The entire 4 hours you're on the radio.
One of the mainstays of Ricky's show is the prank phone call concept. Not a new one, but one that he's brought to perfection.
Oh, when you do prank phone calls on the radio, it's like allowing your audience to listen in on a private conversation. Allowing them to listen in on you being bad and and being mischievous, irritating people, getting cursed out, all that kind of stuff. And I think people absolutely love prank phone calls. So we haven't done any new ones in a while, but I got some coming up as soon as I slow down. We're going to do some new prank phone calls. And, that's always been a big part of my radio career, doing prank phone calls and doing community service as well.
Something Ricky truly enjoys is sports. So I ask him, do you ever think about moving over to do some play-by-play?
I could definitely do that with no problem, especially when it comes to football. To be a college football commentator, is that what you're talking about, right?
Right, sure.
Absolutely. I would definitely love to work for the University of Alabama because I'm a big Bama fan. And, to be on the sidelines and get an opportunity to interview Coach Nick Saban, I would love something like that. That'll be a big deal for me.
Catch it all on Ricky Smiley For Real, rolling right now with new episodes every Tuesday on TV One. That does it for the podcast, but we are going to be back quicker than you might think. Got a couple of good things in mind, including a talk with Ricky Smiley, the successful radio host who also has moved into reality television, and a number of other things that keep him one busy guy. Plus our exclusive look at the return of Unreal, another season debuts in just a few days on Lifetime. All that and more right here, and you can find us in the iTunes podcast directory and on websites like GetThePointRadio.com, PopCultureUpload.com, ComicMix.com, and TrekTVNews.com as well. We're on Facebook under Pop Culture Upload. We're on Instagram and Twitter under PC Upload, and we'll be looking for you. See you back here in a few days.